Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We've all seen the violent scenes and disorder in Belfast overnight. Gaurav Mittal, who's the manager of a phone shop, is with us here on the programme today. Because, Gaurav, I'm looking at a video of the phone shop that you manage on the Shankill Road in Belfast and the damage that was caused overnight. Tell us what happened.
That happened the yesterday. That is the they said the peaceful protest. But the point is that is not actually the peaceful protest. They stealing the they break the shutter. After that, they goes in and they steal old phones, laptops, and the work record. What we have, the customer phone record, IMEI numbers. Everything, they steal business laptop as well. They break the old shop inside. It is very hard, you know.
The whole shop inside, Gaurav, was damaged, was it?
Yeah, all the glasses, everything. They break everything inside. And the next one, our neighbors, they just see in the video. They have the cameras outside. They see in the camera and they send me messages over there. Then I tried to call 999. They said, you have to wait for a long time because there was a lot of mess. It's in Belfast. That's why. That's, you know, obviously this one is the madness. Our shop, we are doing very good one, you know, services. And people was doing like that. Totally scrapped this one. Yeah. They stole everything. We are helping people.
The police were helping people when you tried to call for assistance for emergency assistance. Yes. Last night.
Yes.
Were you or any of your staff, were you in the shop at the time, Gaurav, or had you already left?
Left. No, we closed the shop 5 o'clock. That one happened around 9 o'clock at night.
And when did you become aware that the shop had been so badly damaged?
I come with the police around 1 a.m. night time.
Yeah. And you could see online the extent of the damage to the premises.
No, because of the damage the cameras as well. They break everything and they took everything in with that.
Have you ever experienced anything like this before?
We never ever seen that one before, but this time, see, my boss, his name is Amit Gupta. He live in here 20 years continue, and he's doing well business in here. And all the local people know him.
Yeah.
But now it's happening. If anyone doing, the one guy doing that shit thing to try to murder.
The issue, Gaurav, is before the courts at the moment, and we're aware of what the incident you're talking about, and a man has appeared before the court. So there's very little that we can say in relation to the attack or to an attack that had previously happened. But for you as somebody, you know, you're part of the Indian community living in Belfast.
Yes.
How do you feel today? Yes. When you see some of the scenes that happened overnight?
Obviously, we not feel safe now because if anyone in the shop, they will kill him as well. But don't know now what's happened next or what they do, because today is also again protest start around 1 o'clock, and they burn the lot of shops. We see in videos, and my shop, they damage everything inside. They very big loss for us.
So you were concerned for your own safety if the protests were to continue, and
no,
if
we
you
are,
were
we
working.
Are, we are not only for us. We want to this one peacefully for everyone, because human, that's why.
Yeah. Okay. Gaurav, yeah. Look, I appreciate you getting in touch and joining us here on the programme today, and look after yourself. And the extent of the damage is so widespread for you and so many other businesses. As I said, the video was online. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have probably unfortunately seen it at this stage. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Sean is with us on the line today as well. Sean, you're also based in Belfast city centre. What did you witness last night?
Oh, well, I'm based in South Belfast, But I have a balcony overlooking the city, and I noticed stuff was starting to get sinister when I was walking home from work. I work in a law firm, which one of the practice areas is immigration law.
Okay.
And we were asked to leave early, just for our safety. And as we were leaving, I live in the south inner city. I noticed men start to gather, and I recognised some of them because last year in the aftermath of the Ballymena protest, they did a kind of similar thing, where they basically stood in this kind of area that's a Loyalist area. It intersects with the Loyalist area, an area that's predominant, that has a large ethnic minority community, and they were stopping visible minorities, and this was like 5 o'clock.
So you could actually, you were familiar with that happening previously, but this is something you witnessed, Sean, yesterday evening as well. What time of the day are we talking about at this stage yesterday?
Five o'clock.
Yeah.
And then around 8 o'clock, I was at home. I was watching a film with my housemate, and next thing we could see flames emanating from our balcony window from what appeared to be Newton Arch Road. Then within a few minutes, we saw flames emanating from the north of the city, and then we saw flames emanating from around the Donegal Road, Sandy Row, and then we saw large black flames emanating from the Donegal Road kind of area. We could see that from our balcony.
Was there a sense, Sean, that the PSNI and that the officers were there? Like, if you say that from 5 o'clock yesterday evening, when your firm closed up early and you were leaving work, that you felt there was kind of an air of tension in the locality, was the police presence there from early yesterday?
No.
It wasn't. Okay. In the areas, we'll say that you were and that you could see, you couldn't see a large police presence at that point of the evening.
No.
And when did things escalate? As things began to escalate overnight, what did you witness?
I witnessed flames in the distance. At one point I saw ambulances and fire trucks trying to get through our street, but they can't get through our street because it's a cul-de-sac. Due to a roadblock put up by the Minister for the Department for Transport, not related to the riots, and they had to turn back. And then I took to my phone, and my friends who are living in East Belfast were telling me that their neighbours there was people going door to door asking, was there any N words or P words living in the area? Can they point their houses out? My friends said, oh, they just moved into the area. They don't know their neighbours because they didn't want to engage with
people. I'm sure it was very frightening for them, Sean, as well. I mean, a knock on the door like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you were hearing this from your friends and on the phone and on WhatsApp last night telling you about some of these interactions they had.
Yeah, and it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I knew when I woke up in the morning and I saw that footage, and when the weather was getting a bit better in the mid-afternoon, I knew riots were going to happen. I lived in Belfast for nearly a decade, and I knew when Ballymena happened and when Southport happened, I knew it could happen. Like I remember the aftermath of Southport stabbings very vividly because I was in a barber shop in the Botanic area, and I was trapped in the barber shop and the shop underneath, or the barber shop, was attacked.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, violence in Belfast and protest is something that we hear about, you know, yes, time and time again. But as somebody, Sean, that's living there, as you say, for over a decade at this stage, was there something different about what happened in the city last night?
I would like to say yes, but I, for some reason, I think people have an amnesia of exactly a year ago to yesterday, when the Ballymena riots happened, or when the Southport riot happened. There's one shop. There's a shop run by a Syrian man on the corner of Sandy Row and Donegal Road. I don't know the exact name of the shop, but it's something Al Sham, or Sham Supermarket, which Sham is Arabic for the Levant, but Syria in particular is what it's used for. Just means Syrian supermarket. That shop was burnt down in the aftermath of Southport, and it reopened a few weeks ago because I would go past it regularly if I was going to go to the cinema or something like that, or if I was to go to West Belfast, and it's burnt down again. And that only opened a few weeks.
You mentioned at the very start, Sean, that you work in the legal field. Is that right? You're working in a legal office, and you deal a lot. Is that correct with immigration
law
cases? Okay, yeah. And did you close yesterday? Was there a fear, maybe for the safety of staff or potential clients?
Safety of staff and clients.
That's why the law firm had to shut early yesterday.
Yeah.
And are you working today? Are you back open, or
working from home?
Working from home today. Yeah.
And it's very difficult because it's face to face business, and a lot of our clients wouldn't know how to use technology, so we had to move our consultations to Teams, and a lot of them wouldn't know how to access Teams. So, yeah.
I imagine you probably work with a lot of interpreters then, Sean, in your line of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they concerned?
Yesterday, our clients weren't worried because a lot of them probably don't know English. They don't know how volatile here can be. But the interpreters who've been living here for years know the area well. They know that what was going to happen. We all knew what was going to happen.
You had a feeling there was a sense of what might likely happen. And I know even today, I see the PS and I, Sean, as I'm talking to you, are actually on television screen here in the background of the studio, appealing for calm today. You know, they're currently attending a press briefing, you know, and making the point, John Boucher, the chief constable, saying that he's calling on young people not to get carried away by what they see online, not to be persuaded by people who know nothing about the North, that everybody needs to please think about what happened last night and the terror that's been caused to families. He's also said this afternoon that there are consequences to what happened last night, and promised that police too will follow through on those. I'm just going to bring in Sean. Thank you for getting in touch and for joining us today, and look after yourself. We appreciate you sharing your experience with us. Conor Wilson is with us on the line as well. Conor, you're a reporter with the Express in Belfast. So you were actually reporting yesterday evening. What happened?
Yeah, so we flew in from London yesterday after we saw the footage. We knew there would be protests. We've seen it, you know, many times before, and I've reported on it quite a lot. But I suppose I didn't expect the level of violence. I didn't expect the fuse to be as short as it was. So we headed to the Shankill Road for about 7 o'clock. And this was very peaceful, people just mingling, talking, catching up, and speeches called for peaceful protest. The crowd didn't respond very well to those calls. And very quickly, you know, about 10, 15 minutes later, the march moved up the road, off the Shankill Road, and down a row of terraced houses where doors were getting kicked in, windows were getting smashed, young lads, and they did tend to be the younger ones that was sort of committing most of the criminality, were running in houses, smashing windows, setting fire to houses, cars.
Were they masked? And
they were all masked. And the community was policing no phones very heavily. I initially had a cameraman with me who had two big cameras in his bag. He got sort of identified straight away and told to leave in no uncertain terms.
By some of the rioters?
Yeah, he was told very strongly to sort of get out of the area. And I didn't have anything on me, so I could sort of blend in. And the crowd converged on this one house. Seven people sort of went in the house, ripping windows out, set off fireworks, throwing in flares, and eventually a car outside was torched and the front living room was set on fire as well. But what really shocked me was on the way up to the Central Road, the taxi driver said to me, we're talking about how the roads are closed and everyone was just braced for the things that came afterwards. And he said, we'll never have normality in this country. And I thought I understood what he meant, but I realised last night when I got home that I hadn't fully grasped exactly what he meant, because there was children in those houses terrified. I've got children of, you know, similar sort of ages. Mm. I can't imagine the fear they had seeing their neighbour's door get kicked in, cars set on fire, thinking they could be next. But on the flip side of that, there was children in the crowd brought by parents to witness this, almost as if it was a rite of passage. You know, you'd be walking up the Shankill Road and a car might stop because it spotted a young lad that they recognised, and they'd give them a bit of a knowing grin and, oh, keep out of trouble, as if they were going to a nightclub at 17. It was almost like you're of that age where this is what you should be going out and seeing. And seeing it through that lens, how can this country ever have normality if you keep repeating this cycle where children go at 5 or 6 years old and see the people they look up to most getting involved in this sort of thing?
They were brought as onlookers, Connor, basically, to witness the unrest last night, from what you're saying.
Yeah, and I mean, there's certain football grounds I wouldn't take my son to, let alone what was sort of tantamount to, it was almost like a lynching. It was almost like there was about 1,000 people taking justice into their own hands. And I understand people are angry. Everyone who sees the footage is angry. Yeah.
And we were just talking about that, and the fact, obviously, that particular matter is before the courts. It was before the courts just earlier this morning. Mm. But am I right, Connor, in saying that you too were forced to run for safety at one point after interviewing one of the protesters?
Yeah. So later on, we interviewed somebody on a street just off of the Shankill Road who was masked. And a van stopped next to the interview. The person we were interviewing tried to placate it and said he was happy to talk. But there was a feeling. Anyway, that van sped off and then it came back up the road again, but with more people inside. And we decided to sort of get away. And then it came back for us again, at which point we decided to pick up the pace quite significantly.
Yeah. You're there today as well, Connor. You are. Are you still in Belfast?
Yep, still in Belfast today. Going round and sort of trying to sort of tell the story of the people who have, you know, had their livelihoods. I've heard the guy you just spoke to. Their story needs to be told because there's, you know, there's people in the community at the heart of this. But the other thing I was just going to mention was there was anger in that crowd, and I understand the anger. I was angry. But what I saw from the people perpetuating the most violence, most criminality, wasn't anger. It wasn't. It was an excuse. It was a justification for them to play up to a crowd, to masquerade, show bravado. They looked excited. They didn't look angry. They looked excited. They looked like they were enjoying what they were doing.
Which is obviously, you know, God, my God, it's so frightening to hear that. But Connor, listen, I'll leave you to get back to your work. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here in the programme. Our own chief reporter, Barry White, is joining us from Belfast as well today. Just, Barry, briefly, I mean, what are the scenes like in Belfast now this lunchtime?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, look, I'm in East Belfast, where the worst of the violence erupted last night. And the two places I went to this morning were Lendrick Street and McMaster Street. And it was just apocalyptic scenes. It was like a war zone. There were you know, a number of houses in each street burnt out. There was just lines of cars that had been burnt out. I saw families, you know, leaving these homes this morning or coming back to the homes that they fled last night and just packing their belongings into black bin bags. You know, their homes had been destroyed and now they have to find alternative accommodation tonight. And, you know, this is families with children who now have nowhere to go because of what happened last night. And these streets that I mentioned, Andrea, in East Belfast, they would be housing executive homes, so it would be social housing. Mm. So the rioters went to these streets last night. So there was some organisation here where they went to the homes and they pinpointed foreigners who live in these streets and then they smashed the windows, burnt their houses, burnt their cars. I spoke to one woman who lives in the street this morning. She's originally from Scotland. She's lived here for 7 years and she just said she was absolutely terrified. She opened her back door. She could see the glider bus that was set alight on fire. She heard. She said she could hear about 7 or 8 explosions going off. She tried at one point to flee her home and she says each end of the street was being blocked by men in balaclavas. She went back into her home and then eventually she was able to flee and went to her sister's house. She came back today to pick up her belongings and she has to find alternative accommodation tonight again.
This is the reality across all of Belfast, I suppose, for so many today. Barry, just finally, is there an expectation that this could commence again later?
There does seem to be a fear that this could erupt tonight again. We've seen, you know, last summer, I think it's a year this week, we've seen violence in Ballymena that lasted for a couple of nights. So there is fears that this could happen again. A number of schools in Belfast, a number of primary schools have actually closed early today. There's a number of businesses here in East Belfast that told me they'll close early. So there is fears this could erupt again. Like that woman I mentioned who I interviewed, like she says she really does fear their home could be set alight tonight if the same happens again. She says she's just going to have to come back tomorrow just to see what it's like. But she says she got her belongings out, she got her dog out, and she's just happy that she's able to escape safely now.
Safely.
But there's people living like that, just not knowing what's going to happen and what they're going to face tomorrow.
Well, we'll keep listeners up to date here on the station throughout the course of the afternoon as well. But for the moment, Barry, listen, thanks for joining us. That's our own Barry White there, Sean Wilson as well from The Express, and Sean and Gaurav, who got in touch to share their own experiences.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.